I'm glad He's given us the power. I'm glad He's baptized us with the power. We can overcome the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Come preach to us, Brother Tyler.
I wonder, could we exalt the name of the Lord right now? For He is worthy. He is in this house. Jesus is in this place, and He wants praise. Don't let your neighbor hold you back. Don't let the person sitting next to you keep you from praising and magnifying the Lord. Hallelujah! Jesus is doing this. Jesus is doing this. Let Him heal you. Let Him deliver you. Let Him set you free. Jesus. To the book of Esther. Esther chapter 3. There's a man in the Bible who lived in the land of Uz. His name was Job. Job was a wealthy man. Job had a lot of things going for him. But one day he woke up and all his farm animals, everything was gone. What a blow this was to Brother Job. But this wasn't the worst thing he would ever face. Then the devil comes back to the Lord and says, well, let me afflict his body. The devil comes down and afflicts Brother Job's body to the point that he laid in the night and was afraid to go to sleep in pain. But this wasn't the worst thing that Job faced. And then his encourager, the one that he said he would love, sickness and in hell, till death do we part, comes out and says, won't you go on and curse God and die? This was a blow to him. But this wasn't the worst thing Job would ever face. But he said, I got up one morning, I looked on the right, I looked on the left, but I couldn't find God. The worst thing Job ever faced was when he woke up and said, I can't find God. I can't feel God. I'm glad I came here tonight and I can feel Him. If you can't feel Him tonight, something's wrong with you. This is no hour for you to not be able to feel God. You better not leave this place unless you can feel God. Esther chapter 3. I love the Word of the Lord. His Word is powerful. His Word is what's going to save us. To all the critics out there, I am a Word preacher. Everybody talking about, well, that sounds like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland. It's the Bible. I preach the book. We live by the Word. If you got Jesus in your heart, you've got the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse number 1, after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. For the king had so commanded concerning him, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them. He was hard-headed. We need some hard-headed apostolics. I'm not talking about hard-headed toward your pastor. I'm talking about hard-headed to the compromising that's in the world today. And he hearkened not unto them that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. I feel like the Lord wants a generation of young people that are not willing to bow or give reverence to the spirit of compromise and worldliness that's trying to get in our churches. I want to preach tonight on declare his generation or lose it. Declare his generation or lose it. Could we go to the Lord? Jesus, you are true to us tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would touch our hearts, God. We come before your throne. We need an anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place, Lord. Anoint me, your servant, God. Anoint my lips of clay that I may speak your word. You have spoken it unto me, O Lord. I know that you're able to do a work in the lives of these young people tonight. God, let there be a revival that would start from this meeting, that would transform our churches and transform our cities. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Would you one more time clap your hands unto the Lord? For He is worthy, for He is worthy, for He is worthy. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. Look at your neighbor and say, declare his generation. The preacher of Ecclesiastes said, one generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. Natural generations come and go. But there is one generation that I've come to talk to you about tonight. It's the generation of Jesus Christ that has always been and always will be. This is a generation that the devil cannot defeat. This is a generation that Satan cannot come against and destroy them. I'm talking about the church of the living God that is still powerful, that is still anointed. I'm tired of the devil trying to bombard our services, trying to cause our services to be dead, trying to pull the life out of our I'm tired of struggling, trying to get the songs just right, trying to get the preaching just. It's time we allow the anointing to destroy the yokes that the enemy would try to place in our services when we come to have church. But what's the problem? What's the problem here? Why is the devil having so much freedom in the church? It is because somebody is not willing to stand up and declare his generation. Somebody sitting over in a corner somewhere, sucking their thumb, afraid to stand up for the truth. And that's why the devil can walk into our services and bind our worship, bind everything that we're trying to do. But I believe tonight that somebody's going to leave this meeting saying, I'm going to declare my generation. I'm going to stand up for what is right. I'm going to stand up for one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. I'm not going to move off of it. I'm not going to let down on it. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. Isaiah asked the question, who shall declare his generation? 1 Peter 2 and 9 called us a chosen generation. God is looking tonight for somebody that will declare his generation. He's sick and tired of all the compromising. He's sick and tired of all the wishy-washy, backboneless Pentecostals that don't want to stand up for what's right.
that won't stand against sin. I'm telling you, sin is the problem in the church, and we need some people, we need some young people that'll stand up and say, I'm not going to commit it. I'm not going to partake of it.
Haman, that old devil, that's what I'll refer to him tonight. He has been promoted. He has been exalted to a place of leadership. And he's commanding everybody, when you see me coming, you better bow down and you better give me reverence. You see, that old spirit of Haman has been lurking around a lot of our churches. And that spirit of compromise said, you better bow down when I start knocking on your door. What the world says, everybody's doing it. Everybody's not letting tell. There's still some holiness people that are preaching holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. They're still preaching it.
But Haman,
hallelujah, Jesus.
Who does this sound like to you? The one that said, I'm going to exalt myself. The one that said, I will ascend. I will exalt. I will sit also upon the mount. It's the one that is the spark plug to every false doctrine, every seducing spirit. It's Satan himself that's been knocking on your life, saying, come on, you can let down. Everybody around you is doing it. You're out with the times. Somebody needs to stand up and say, buddy, you're a liar. You're always going to be a liar. You can't tell the truth.
The spirit of Haman desires the church of the living God to bow down to its system. The spirit of Haman says, you better give me reverence. But I wonder how many Mordecai's we have that says, buddy, I don't care how much respect you want. I don't care how many times you tell me to bow. I'm not going to do it. I'm standing up for Jehovah. And this generation today has got to say, I'm standing up for Jesus. I'm wrapped up in Jesus. I'm not going to compromise this truth.
Mordecai, I knew I cannot conform to something that God has cursed. I'm not going to give reverence. I'm not going to bow down to something that God has cursed. And Paul said it this way, though me or an angel of light come preaching any other gospel, you let it be a curse. I'm telling you, I'm not going to bow down to something that God has cursed. I'm not going to bow down to something that God says, don't fool with it.
I'm sorry, that's just how I see it. That's just how I believe it. This 5'7" preacher from Oklahoma, I refuse to water this thing down. I refuse to compromise this great truth. Come on, young people, don't give up on it. Don't let it down. Say, I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to hold on to it.
This past year,
I started doing something I had never done before. Bow hunting. Got me a bow, some sharp arrow blades, and I was going to kill me a deer. And I went out there and I was ready for it. Finally, one little deer come hopping down the trail. And I was shaking and I pulled back my bow and let the arrow go. And I struck the deer and got the deer. Brother Nathan helped me go drag him out of the woods. But I thought today how that old Mordecai was such an arrow, such a pain in old Haman's side. And every time, old Haman come walking. False doctrine, compromise, worldliness come walking by. And everybody around us, they're bowing, they're giving reverence. But old Mordecai said, "You ain't gonna get me to bow. You ain't gonna get me to bow. You ain't gonna get me to bow." I wonder how many young people we got in here tonight that said compromised worldliness, charismaticism, you're not gonna get me. I'm not gonna bow. I'm not gonna give you honor. So every time, he just pains me. He'd get in around those that were just sucking up to him. That old Mordecai makes me mad. Such a pain in my side. You know what happens when there's a group of young people that will not compromise to their youth pastor or to their pastor? They pull back the arrow and say, "Take that devil." They're not compromising. Take that devil. It's time we be pain to the enemy. I'm tired of him painting us. I'm tired of feeling the effects of the devil. It's time we reverse and turn the tide on the enemy. Why is it, Brother Shelton, that young people only want to travail and only want to pray when all of the problems have already done broke loose in their life? After they done yielded to fornication, after they done messed up, then they want to get in the presence of God and go with the devil. Why can't we live in that realm where every day we're taking authority and dominion over the spirits of hell? Get out of here with your roller coaster walk with God. In and out, in and out, in and out. We need somebody that'll say, "I'm going to live in His presence. I'm going to stay in the presence. I'm declaring His generation tonight."
World theories want us to bow. We need psychology. Do you know that's what we need today? We need psychology. We need to be educated. They go to school and learn how to talk to people. What happened to the Bible? These first ones, now I'm not knocking education. I believe you ought to get as educated as you can. But I find that these fishermen, they didn't have much knowledge. They knew that every time they had to deal with something, they got down on their knees and said, "I got to pray. I got to talk to God." But the Spirit is coming on our young people, and they want to analyze everything. And they'll come up with this charismatic blah, blah. What we call it in Boswell.
and say, well, I want scripture and verse. There ain't enough scripture there, preacher, to preach it like that. They've been preaching it for 40 and 30 years and wasn't nobody...
Oh, we'll get into that. Well, they were uneducated back then. The preacher just...
I'm sorry. That's a spirit spawned out of the pits of hell. We are a holiness people. Bless God, we're a holiness people.
So then, my brothers don't know what I'm talking about here. Well, everybody else is missing prayer meeting. I don't need to go to prayer meeting. I don't need to be at youth service. Youth service. It may be that somebody comes at youth service and needs God. Just as important. But these theories bombard our young people's minds. They begin to think like the world, see it like the world. The Bible says we have not been given a spirit that is of the world, but a spirit that's of God. So then it's okay to dress like the world, to look like the world, to talk like the world, to go to the world's places. And what has happened? We have lost, Brother Shirley, our identity. We still believe in holiness. We all need a sign like that just to remind us every now and then we still believe in holiness. It's not just a look. It's an experience with God that says, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to fornicate. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to smoke. While I'm only, let me hit the spirit of religion. I'm not some great revelatory preacher, but let me tell you what the Lord told me. When I look at heaven, I see a circuit of angels. I see Gabriel, this messenger angel. I see Michael, this warring angel. And I see Lucifer, this praising angel. But he got kicked out of heaven. And now David said, dishonor have all the saints. So now we praise and magnify the Lord. So this end time Antichrist spirit, Jesus said that it would be so close to the real thing that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. It's going to be so close to the Holy Ghost that it's going to deceive people. How do we know the difference? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. If that ain't in the church,
you better look out.
But now, Satan forming his end time church. And I believe, as the prophets of old have prophesied, that this harlot church is the Catholic church. I believe that it's the Catholic charismatic church that they're going to form together. It's already been stated that the Pope, he's putting his approval on these charismatics. And it is said it won't be long till the Pope, he'll be talking in tongues. So Satan is forming this church, but he's got a circuit of spirits. Governmental spirits that control Bill and Hillary.
And when you look at Bill and Hillary, all that is Ahab and Jezebel. Jezebel's running Ahab.
And that spirit's trying to come in churches. Ain't no woman run no church. If a woman's not living for God, she'll split a church.
Oh, I know you don't like it, but I got to preach it anyway.
But you hear me? These governmental spirits. And then these ecclesiastical spirits. Of false doctrine. But then the occultic spirits. Of witchcraft. And he said in the last days, the spirits of devils will be working miracles. So Satan dispatches these demon occultic spirits to these charismatic churches, and miracles are being performed. But there's not one Lord, one faith, one baptism being preached. So the occultic spirits have come in, and the occultic spirit has slayed people out.
And what they call the spirit.
But what's coming against us? These ecclesiastical spirits that said, go on and compromise. Go on and let down. But this ecclesiastical spirit of religion will even get on some of our holiness, young people. You look holy. You don't have to pray. You don't have to have a relationship. You don't have to worship God. That's just as wrong as a charismatic spirit. But somebody's going to stand up and say, I'm declaring his generation. We're not charismatic. We're not let down. We're one God, Jesus' name, apostolic tongue-talking, holy rollers. I run a house. I shout. I dance. I live right.
But these spirits, spirit of Haman, come in. Want us to bow down. Want us to give in. I choose to be identified with the Jesus generation that had the Word, that lived by the Word. And I'm going to hit on miracles and signs and wonders in a minute. But I want to look at some generations here that are rising up against the church. Or rising up against what we would call standards that we preach. Proverbs chapter 30 speaks of four generations. And these four generations are fighting this Jesus generation. It's fighting those that want to live holy. It's fighting those that want supernatural ministry. It's fighting those that want to progress. And want to do more for God. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11, Troy Shirley.
There is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother.
Stop right there.
The rebellious generation that is resenting the preaching. That says, I don't have to do that. I don't have to lie to that rebellious generation that mom and dad said, come on, honey, you need to go to church. I don't want to go to church, mama. I don't need to go to church. That rebellious, and some of you have been like that. Don't try to play games and fool me. It's time you take off the facade. Take off your mask and say, I want to live right. I want to do right. You better help me preach tonight. It's time somebody start walking straight.
Don't want all that. I want to bend and blend with the world. So they fight it. That generation that rebels against it.
Then the next generation, verse 12.
There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes.
Well, they think they're right.
And yet is not washed from their filthiness.
They think they're right. They'll argue with you. I'm right.
But you know what I call them?
I call them the lost generation. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end is the ways of death. They think they're right,
but they are deceived. And they fight us. Then there's the third generation, verse 13. There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes. And their eyelids are lifted up.
This is a proud generation. These old spoiled brats of Pentecost.
Don't sit on me. Help me preach.
They're too good for it. Or they may look holy, but they have to have the latest trends and the latest fashion. It's a shame when we can come to a Pentecostal church and find all the latest fashion. And we try to outdo one another with how good we can dress. Get the vanity out of your heart. Get the pride out of your heart. And get Jesus down in your soul. But that proud generation that walks the fence, that's on the borderline. And at church, they can shout with the best of them. At church, they can chickle most Honda. They come in a Honda. At church, they can do this and they look so right. But when they leave church, it's another story. When they leave church, it's another lifestyle. Why can't we be real? No matter where you see me, at Walmart, Kmart, it don't matter where you see me, I'm the same.
Too much pride. Worried about the popularity. Worried about what people will think. So they bend and blend. And they never talk about church. We could have a service where they slain out in the churchyard. They'll go to school the next day, never say a word. And too many of these young people want to be accepted by the world. And the whole time, they're bowing to the spirit of Haman. While I'm on this, our young men don't need to be dressing like they're in a game. You ladies don't need to dress to switch and throw yourself around and dress all immodest. Because if you're not careful, you'll stand before God guilty of adultery. It's not popular. Some of you don't like it, but it'll get you to heaven, honey. It'll set you free if you submit to it and say, that's right.
All is vanity and vexation of spirit. So there's that proud generation that they're ashamed of it. They won't declare it. Then there's the fourth generation here. Verse 14.
There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among them. Those that can't keep their tongue off of us. Those that call us legalistic. Those that call us pharisaical. Those that say we're outdated.
those that say we're putting people in bondage.
Last time I looked, I was in bondage. Paul said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
I'm bound by the Holy Ghost. If there's any bondage in this church, it's those that are bound by the Holy Ghost that say, when you want me to shout, I'll shout. When you want me to run, I'll run. I am bound by the Holy Ghost.
If we don't declare His generation, we're going to lose it. Too many churches have already crossed the line. They've already crossed that line of, they've compromised to the point they'll never get back to what they were.
I don't want to reach that place. You, when you let down on this and you let down on that, it's like a snowball effect. It's going downhill and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
We've got to declare it. I thought about Daniel. Daniel, a young man that declared his generation. The spirit of Haman come to him in his day, said, we want you to partake of the king's meat. The finest. The best. How much like today with the spirits that are in the world that say, in our churches where we have compromised, we have the best. We have the best musicians. We have the best styles. We have the best of the best of our city. We have the best. But there's still a group that says, we don't care what the mayor says. We don't care what the governor says. We don't even care what the president says. We are one God, apostolic, Holy Ghost-filled people. So Daniel said, I'm going to declare his generation. I'm not going to bow down to this. I'm not going to submit to this. I tell you what you do. I just go back over here in my corner. You just bring me some water and some pulse or some bread. You just bring me that and I'll be happy. That's the way I feel in 1997. Just give me a little water. Just give me a little bread. I don't need the king's meat. I don't need the king's wine. Just give me a little water. And Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers. Rivers! Rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit. What I've come to say, just give me the pure, unadulterated word. Just give me the moving of the Holy Ghost and I'll be happy. I don't need the king's meat. I don't need what the world has. Give me what's real. Give me what's genuine. Somebody that will declare his generation. And when we come to church and the music strums up and the Spirit of the Lord gets to moving, you start lifting your hands. You start declaring his generation. Don't look over at the dead one that refuses to worship. Say, I'm going to declare his generation.
And when the pastor says, I want you to come to church early and I want you to pray, don't look at those that say, I'm not going to be there, but say, I'm going to declare his generation. I'm going to get in the prayer room. I don't care how many's not here. I'm going to pray.
They're an altar call. And souls are come down to see their life changed. And you see everybody else slipping out the back door. You see everybody else making their plans of where they're going to go eat after church. And it's just one or two trying to pray some drug addict through to the Holy Ghost.
Somebody better say, I'm going to declare his generation. Yes. I'm going to get down in that altar with that drug addict or with that pregnant teenager that society looks down on and society don't want them. I'm going to declare his generation. I'm going to say, Jesus, I'm going to get down there and help them pray through.
There's one thing about Mordecai, and I'm fixing to quit. He wasn't wishy-washy. He didn't bow one day and the next day he stood up. He was solid. He had so much stickum on him. He said, I'm not going to bow down. Every day you come by here, Haman, I'm not going to bow. I feel like too many of us are in and out. And in and out. And then we wonder why we can't see the blessings of God in our life. We wonder why we're not bearing fruit. We wonder why we're not doing anything for God when we're in one day and out the next and in one day and out the next.
Spirit of Mordecai is one that said, I'm not going to follow the latest trends. You ever heard of an incubator chicken? Incubator chicken. That's a chicken that was placed in a machine and its mama didn't brood over it. And when that chicken comes out, Brother Richard, that chicken will follow anything through the yard. That chicken follow a horse through the yard. Anything. But one that mama laid that egg, set on that egg, and that egg hatched, that little chicken won't follow anything else but mama. I'm afraid we've got too many incubator apostolics. You following everything that comes through the yard. You following every wind of doctrine. Get with your mama. That is the church. That is the church. And follow the church. Don't follow every wind of doctrine. Don't follow every charismatic interweave. Say, I'm staying with the Word. I'm staying with the Word.
Mordecai, I may have been the only one. All by himself, but he says, if I'm the only one, Brother Wyatt, I'm going to stand. Brother Hodge, if everybody else is letting down, I'm going to stand. When they make fun of me, say I'm outdated, I'm still going to stand. I've got to stand. I can't let down. Full-blooded apostolic. My little boy is not here tonight, but he refers to our Labrador retriever as a full blood. Anybody that comes by and looks at our beautiful lab, first thing Cole tells them, he's a full blood. We need that to be said about us. We're full blooded apostolic.
Ain't no charismatic blood in me. Ain't no compromising blood in me. Can I get a witness? I'm full-blooded apostolic. One God, Jesus' name. But when this generation of young people begin to stand up, stay standing. Everybody stand. when you begin to declare his generation, and when you get this theory, we still believe in holiness, then, notice up here, in this house, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the gospel to be preached, that we should be to the praise of His glory. When you declare His generation and stand up, for thus saith the word of the Lord, it is then that a sweeping move of the Holy Ghost is going to fill our churches, and revival and gifts and the operation and demonstration of the Spirit will begin to move. But first, you've got to declare, declare, declare His generation! We talk about Pensacola. Pensacola's having revival. I'm glad for whatever's going on down there. I'm not knocking them. But it's time to church. I'm tired of hearing about it just in Trinitarian churches. What's wrong with the Pentecostal? What's wrong with the Apostolic Church? We cowering down. We're not declaring His generation. That's why He's passing us by. That's why there's no power. That's why there's no anointing. That's why drug addicts leave our churches still bound by drugs. Don't blame it on nobody else.
We can put the blame on, well, the services didn't go right tonight. And I'm tired of that old cop-out where they just didn't want deliverance. 95% of them do, but we ain't got the power to deliver them and the power to pray them through. Can I get a witness, Boswell? I told Boswell the other night, I'm tired of hearing about people coming up and telling me, boy, we hear a lot of things are going on down at your church. We want to come visit your church. But it's amazing, out of all these people that have told me we're going to come to your church, I hadn't seen one of them. And the Holy Ghost, Brother Sheldon, told me, said, I'll send them when the church gets enough power to pray them through. That was an indictment against me and my church. But we've repented, and we want to have power that when they come in, we can lay hands on them and see them pray through. We can lay hands on them and they'll be healed. Somebody better get on fire tonight. I'm declaring His generation. I'm declaring His generation. I'm declaring His generation. What do you want me to do? Some of you need to repent. Some of you need to repent. Some of you need fresh fire. Some of you need to pray through. Come on, lift your hands right now.
Hallelujah. Oh, well, I know Jesus is the Father. I know Jesus is the Son. I know Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And all these three are one. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He is the rock of all ages. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Heavenly Father. He's the beginning and the end.
Come on, you need to
much out. More than this life.
Come on, don't hold
He's
back.
The Son of Man.
Don't hold back. You can bring him out of your church. You can bring him out of your church.
I know Jesus is the Father.
Jesus.
I know Jesus is the
Jesus.
Son.
Get turned
I know Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And all these three are one. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He is the rock of all ages. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Heavenly Father. He's the beginning and the end. Much more than this, my friend. He's the Son of Man.
He's coming back again.